How's it going, everybody? It's your favorite apostates. I'm McKay.
I'm Jordan.
And I got it right this time. What's up? We're back again. Yeah, I actually I accidentally cut the part where I messed up.
So. It's fine.
It's going great.
So, in keeping with our theme, yesterday I got a DM on our Instagram, which if you don't follow our Instagram, go follow us there. About somebody had copied this video that we're going to react to today, which is Girl Defines Response to Shiny Happy People, because somebody asked us to watch it because they don't want to watch it without commentary and don't want to give them the view. So I proposed it to McKay and he said, why not subject ourselves to this horribleness? And here we are. So that is our topic for today. If you have not watched Shiny Happy People, it is a documentary on Amazon Prime Video, a docu-series, I guess,
yep,
about IBLP, the Duggars, all the horrible, horrible things that go along with both of those two things. And they talked a little bit about influencers and Christian influencers particularly, and there was some honorable mentions, and Paul and Morgan themselves were put in it and interviewed, and they were featured, yeah, and had another. They had a very irate and
unhinged
reaction to their to role in the documentary. And then there were a few other clips that were played about a few other influencers, which included Girl Defined. So I have not heard much on their take about it. I know they were both aware prior to this that they were in it, but supposedly I saw from Bethany on Instagram the other day that they weren't told they were going to be in it. And so if that's truly the case, I'm kind of shocked that they didn't reach out to Girl Defined, because
yeah,
I mean, like, audience speaking, Girl Defined is much bigger in the Christian influencer sphere, I feel like, than Paul and Morgan are, but there's got to be reasons. I mean,
they probably have a pretty good case for fair use.
I mean,
so they who can't knows? Really be mad.
Who knows? So that's what we're going to be doing today, is reacting to them.
So buckle the fuck up and let's get started. The first comment I wanted to make was, I like how their channel is called Girl Defined, and they put their channel's name in the title, Girl Defined's Response to Shiny Happy People. I don't know. I feel like you could just throw it in the tags as that, but it's just kind of corny to me that they put it in the title so people could find it easier, I guess.
I don't know.
I would have just titled it Our Response to Shiny Happy People, which is probably what we will title our full response to it. Anyway, I think Jordan said I might need to just cut out the beginning part because it's just nonsense, but let's get going.
Okay, so mm-hmm. I just want to hear from you, Kristen, like your initial, very short, because we're going to get into it all, but like initial reaction after watching the docuseries.
All right, let's see how this.
She's laughing already.
This is the face that my toddler makes when I tell him that he can have another cookie. What was I going to say? God damn it. Let's see. I'm really hoping that there is a difference in the way that Paul and Morgan reacted compared to what Girl Defined do, but we know that they are homies, so.
Unsurprising if it's going to be practically the same.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly thought it was really well done from like a production standpoint, like the way they created, yeah, the way they told the story. It felt very compelling. I was intrigued from the beginning to the end watching it. So I feel like the way it was created was well done, was the story.
Do you remember? Yeah, there's a couple. I don't remember which episode it was. I think there might have been a couple, but the episode where Joey is asking people what they think about his movie and Friends, mm-hmm, and like Chandler's like, I don't even remember who it was, but they were all making like, I really liked the score and stuff like that's what this feels. Oh, the production was just really well put together.
Yes.
Like, oh, you're about to drop some bombs.
Well told. That's another question.
Interesting.
So I was very interested. We obviously have some personal experience with some of the things that were talked about in the docuseries. And so I did feel like it was presented in a really intriguing way.
Yeah,
I felt like it was definitely very dramatized, though, very sensationalized, meant to stir up emotions. I mean, it's entertainment, right? So like, I felt all of that. And I think I walked away with some things that I appreciated about it, which I want to share, and then some things that I did not appreciate about it. What about you?
Okay, totally. Well. Yeah, I mean, after watching it, I was actually kind of taken back.
Bethany didn't know she was going to get asked this question.
I thought I was just asking you. We should have gone over this before the show. Whoops.
I had received so many DMs and literally like text messages from good friends, like asking if I was okay. And people like checking in on me on Instagram, because as we'll get into, Girl Defined had two very, very, very short clips in this docuseries that they pulled from YouTube. And I left the docuseries one feeling like I'm totally okay. Like this didn't hurt my feelings or offend me in any way. I think because I went into it like you did, where I knew first and foremost, like they're probably just capitalizing on a story that they know will make them a ton of money. Like at the end of the day, that's what entertainment truly is about. Like these people want to make money. So
you don't say.
Oh my God.
Girly.
Right off the bat.
Nah.
I understand the sentiment of like everything is...
It's capitalism, baby.
It's capitalism. We'll return to the same thing every fucking time. But
we get it.
To discredit something solely based on the fact that it makes money is kind of garbage, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't discredit you because
you make money off
of your shit. I discredit you because it's dog water. It harms people. Things of that nature.
So I think I went into it with that perspective. And so it made it very like not personal for me, even though I'm like, yeah, I have a lot of experience in some of these programs and what they're talking about and can kind of relate somewhat on some level, like in a small way. But I was kind of like, yeah, just looking at it through the lens of entertainment. These people are trying to make money, just more of a discerning eye first and foremost, but then was also like, yeah, actually.
I bet Paul wishes he would had that fucking discerning eye to not go on and be interviewed. Also, do they not live close? Because they used to do it in a bedroom on a bed next to each other, and now they're
I don't think they do. Maybe, well, Bethany moved.
Oh, okay.
Recently. But I thought they were closer, but maybe not. I don't blame Kristen.
This is like the first thing we've seen of them together, or that we've watched of them together in a long time.
I will say there was a video that they did together more recently that we didn't watch, but I saw a clip in Fundy Snark where Kristen was actually talking a lot and Bethany was getting like visibly agitated that she could not talk as much. It was like... If I can find it, well, I'll have McCabe put it here so you can just see. But she gets so mad. It kills me.
Highly edited magazines. That's another thing. The digital age has brought about not only cosmetic surgeries that allow us to look more youthful and perfect our bodies, quote unquote, but also the editing and all of the pictures that just takes even beautiful women naturally and make them even more beautiful, but it's unrealistic. So where like for me, it just comes back to again and again, like what is fueling my motivation, my worldview? Yeah. If I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, look at those wrinkles. Oh my goodness. Like, wow, they're more prominent. Whoa, I didn't notice those lines on the side of my mouth till today. They look really, it's like, where's that coming from? And why am I viewing that as such a negative thing? There's something happening inside of me, some worldview that I'm viewing my face as I look in the mirror through some lens.
So, they're bringing up some really, really important, hard topics that we need to talk about. And I do agree with some of the terrible things that had been done in the past. And I'm like, yeah, let's talk about this. This is really important. And I.
That could have gone so much better.
I'm glad we're bringing this conversation up. So that's like a really long answer I'm glad they made the documentary, because I think that this is a chance for us as Christians to discuss and talk and like, let's get into this. This is important, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of embarrassing that this secular corporation had to make a documentary for you to face your fucking demons.
Well, and they're still going to say it's too far removed from them because they don't do IBLP and they don't.
Yeah.
And bring other perspectives. Like the docuseries, I guess, it was so, to me, felt like it was very much from from a, like, they were trying to drive a certain narrative, obviously.
For sure.
Anytime 100%. You have a documentary, a movie, you are driving your narrative, the narrative that you want to present.
So the narrative of this documentary is abuse is bad.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like that's what the entire right-wing narrative has been lately.
What?
And being against abuse, particularly of children. Mm. Or at least that's what they've been telling me.
That's what they say.
So now it's like putting a magnifying glass on a church where that was, or an organization, mm-hmm. rather, within Christianity, where that was happening.
Yep.
It's suddenly a bad narrative, I guess.
Yep.
That's crazy.
So crazy weird. How that,
I may be misinformed. Maybe. So please discount this.
Me, that was very obvious. It felt like they were trying to have the obligatory people on who were maybe going to bring another perspective or a different angle. But then at the end of the day, I felt like the documentary very much was focused on driving
for sure.
the narrative that they wanted to drive and the agenda and the
what
angle
is it?
And even
the narrative, the agenda.
What is it?
It's
name
the
it.
Narrative, Jordan.
What is it?
The agenda.
God, it drives me fucking crazy. It's the same thing with like the gay agenda and all this other bullshit that they say. Like, say it out loud.
We fuck heavy with the gay agenda. Let's
you
go.
You don't want to say it out loud because you know how bad it sounds. So you say this vague bullshit to make yourself feel better.
Conclusion felt yeah. very much one-sided from someone watching it who was involved in some of those things, like talking about IBLP, the Institute in Basic Life Principles. So it's an entire movement started by Bill Gothard. If you've seen the docuseries, then you know way more about it than most people. But if you haven't, then maybe go watch it and you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But it was just an organization under a Christian label that had tons of different programs from kids to young adults to conferences that whole entire families would go to, tons and tons of just resources and curriculum stuff to equip Christian families. And then more specifically, as time went on, it became stuff to equip homeschool families more specifically. And so growing up in a homeschool family, we were involved in some of those programs. So we did go to some of those conferences. We did attend some of those programs. Oof. We were never members. We were never deeply ingrained in the program. We never did any of the curriculum, anything like that. But we did have some involvement. And so watching it, I was like,
color me surprised.
I feel like this is the, we were there, but no, we're not part of it. We weren't, you know.
It's the same thing they always do. Themselves. They distance themselves so they don't have to take accountability.
And likely it wouldn't be them that really needs to take accountability. No. It'd be their parents. But now they are, I mean, they as the they're part of the Joshua generation where they're continuing the teachings and the harmful shit, even if to them it seems innocuous.
Yep.
Hey, this is really interesting to see these testimonies. This anecdotal experience of people looking on and saying, okay, this is what it was for me. And then painting that organization in that one particular light as if that was everybody's experience or as if
because, oh my God, this just sheds light on so many
guys,
things.
Guys, it's not bad because X amount of people had a bad experience. People just had a bad experience. I had a good experience.
Only tens or hundreds
so it's gotta
or,
be good.
Or thousands or whoever. Yeah.
I don't even know how many people had bad experiences, but I had a good experience. So I don't think you should say that it's a bad thing.
So it discredits your entire experience, which by nature of what these two are saying, and I think they're going to say it more explicitly later on, is the same thing that Paul and Morgan did, which is victim shaming, victim blaming. Everything that lines up with not centering the survivors and instead downplaying it. Because if, like, it just goes back to what you said a minute ago, like, these people are so fixated on protecting the children. And so if only two kids get abused, is that not enough to make this a problem?
What is the number?
What's the criteria?
Yeah. Where do we cross the threshold from this is a good organization and some kids get abused? And then after that number is reached, we can say this is a bad organization.
This is
like,
bad.
What is the, where's the threshold on that?
homeschool family was involved, or every conservative Christian thought this way. Yeah. And so I think it's important for us to bring a different perspective. And to
I can tell you for a fact they did not.
Hey, yeah. Well, we were involved in some of the programs. In fact, did you meet Bill Gothard? Because I remember meeting him once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Like, even meeting the man, you know, who's
we watched the same documentary, right? And you two were like, yeah, we met him.
Yeah, no. Like,
That is not a flex.
He's the villain. Like, not the one with redeemable qualities either. Not like Darth Vader, where at the end he throws the emperor down the fucking shaft. Like, no redeeming qualities for this guy.
Like the big bad man for this whole thing. Like, he was kind of a god in that arena. And I remember feeling that, like, wow, you know, he was the leader of the entire program. Like, it was like meeting the president is how it felt.
Yeah, for sure.
Red flag.
I didn't really care about him personally. I was just like, whatever. It wasn't a big deal. But yeah, so I think it'll be interesting for us to weigh in on this because we do have a little bit more of a unique angle.
Bethany's not listening. We're only like 6 minutes in and Bethany's checked
out. This is like
out.
40 fucking minutes. So if you guys are watching the premiere of this, just be aware that this is probably going to be a longer one.
Don't feel to this day like we were traumatized by our experience, like so many people are sharing.
Well, yeah. And
good for fucking you.
Whoopty fucking do, dude.
I think that's why as we watch something like this, like, you know, emotions are high and people are just like on all sides, like just going at it and like attacking each other. Even amongst Christians, we're like going at each other. And I've seen so much of that, like just on forums and in Facebook and on Instagram, and people just like, you know, like going crazy about this. And I just think, like, let's take a step back. Like, let's let our emotions settle a little bit. And, you know, like ultimately at the end of the day, like, especially as Christians, like we should be concerned first and foremost, like about like Christ and the gospel and all of that. And not so much like, well, you know, I don't know, just our own us. But
wow, that's like
very well articulated. Thank you.
I mean, this is like self-reflection that she is not capable of applying to herself.
Seriously. Everybody else, you guys need to calm down because I had a good experience and I think it's good. But you guys are all hung up because a few people got abused and that's just annoying to me.
I think when you watch it, like, just use discernment and realize, like, this is a documentary or a docuseries made by non-believers who clearly, like Kristen said, kind of had an agenda with it, did true things come out.
Do we know for sure that the producers are non-believers? I know from one of the AMAs, I did see that one of them is like an ex-Fundy. I don't remember which one it is.
But ex-Fundy doesn't necessarily denote non-believer.
Exactly. So I would like to know where the fuck these two got that information.
Yeah. And again, like,
does it matter?
Does it really matter?
Talk about living in an echo chamber.
Really important. Absolutely. So let's use this as a conversation starter. But just like these other docuseries that come out about, or reality shows, you know, it's like,
this is not a reality
people
show.
We as humans like love to see like a big fall from grace, a big failure. Yeah, like it's sad, but we find so much entertainment and also a lot of self-righteousness in that. Like, we are so much better than those people. So I think if you're like, I left the fundamentalist movement, like don't swing to the other side where now you're going to that prideful side again and saying like, I am so much better than them. Like, they thought they were so much better. Actually, I'm so much better. I think we can just do the exact same thing that we don't like. So I think it's important that we approach this conversation with like a lot of discernment, a lot of humility. And let's just like, you know, in our own like lives, just be prayerful and be going to the word and saying like, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Like, how can I grow closer to you through this? How can I make your name more?
I am failing to understand how this is relating back to the
docuseries. This is word salad, but tell me, what would Jesus do if you went to him and were like, Jesus, how do you feel about this documentary? I don't think he would be like, Bethany, be prayerful about it. I think he would say, this is fucked up.
He would say,
he wouldn't say that,
Bethany,
but
the agenda and the hidden secret motivations behind this documentary, you really should be prayerful and read the word, and you should be careful
And fuck them kids. Like, that's not what's happening here. I don't understand why this is a thing where we literally have people being heinously abused. And this is like, I'm going to go to Jesus about it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to ask him? Like, how you should feel? Like, I'm pretty sure, regardless of what you believe in, whatever historical text that's in the Bible that you believe in, everything that's written in their interpretation is very much against abuse
that.
In all forms, generally speaking. So, not from a God Old Testament perspective, but from a Jesus perspective. So, like, what am I missing?
You're missing the word from your life in prayer.
I guess.
Because of this, how can I be a part of, like, you know, getting rid of the wrong, the bad, the sin, exposing that, but then drawing closer to you? Like, I don't want it to become just this big thing, like, oh, about us or about certain people, like the Duggars, whoever. It's like, no, like, that's, as Christians, that shouldn't really be the focus of it. So I don't know. I just think we all need to, like, take a minute wherever you stand on it and just, like, take a big breath and, like, okay. Like, I don't know.
Okay, now what? Just finish the fucking sentence.
Right, yeah. I don't know.
How yes, they're it. Really hot. Well, they're really hot and it's so easy.
That's the really hot.
These two did not prepare for this at all.
They do it like us.
They do.
On the fly.
Which is fine if that's your vibe, but, like, this is not.
Yeah.
This is not the play.
To want to become the judge, like to look at other people and just like, okay, now I'm the judge. I'm the arbiter of truth. I will decide what's
is
right
that
and wrong.
Not what you guys
but
fucking
it
do?
Never come.
Self-awareness.
Also, I don't think it takes a fucking judge to realize that shitty things were happening, especially if you got a bunch of people who are able to corroborate a single story.
Well,
The
irony of cringe. This to me is these two are very opinionated about just about fucking everything. But then when it comes to abuse, they're like, well, I got to talk to Jesus about it.
We got to take a step back and take a breather.
We need to think about it. But then they're on here saying that you're sexually broken and, you know,
fuck drag queens. Yeah, they're literally the devil incarnate.
And transphobic people are abomination and like all this shit. So like now's the time that you guys decide to take it up with Jesus.
They're really...
Interesting.
They're leaving a lot of work to Jesus on this one.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
From us, whether it's an extremely conservative movement, whether it's a total like atheist movement, whatever it is, like some strong political movement, the truth we know as believers, it comes from the gospel, like from the word of God. Like that is where truth is found. And the position of the gospel is humility. It's not pride. It's not that we are the judges. It's that God is the judge ultimately. And does he give us wisdom? Does he give us discernment? Do we filter what we see through this biblical worldview? Yes, but we look to God's word ultimately as our source of truth. And that posture of humility, I think, like you're saying, is so important in this conversation that we don't swing to the other side. And now we're taking on this entire perspective. Like, this is entire stance of pride, but it's just from another angle.
Oh my God, there it is.
And just to be clear, because
got a dog on Pride Month. Fuck the gays.
Seriously, did they have like a fucking template? Like, Paul and Morgan were sent the template, and Girl Defined also got the template.
Well, they're Paul
like,
did
yes,
say,
can we get some digs on Pride Month? Thank you.
It's like in the brand at this point.
Seriously.
But I just don't understand where the whole extremes thing is coming from.
Seriously.
Like the extreme ends of the spectrum and being prideful. Like what's being prideful about talking about abuse? Like I don't get it. I guess I'm just missing the point all of the time.
Actually, Jordan, did you know that the Bible says Josh Duggar deserves to be under the jail?
I don't know.
You can just take my word for that because I know what the Bible says.
Maybe
trust
I just
me.
Need to talk to Jesus about it first.
Yeah. Don't ask me for chapter and verse on that one.
So many people have asked. We did not know any clips of Girl Defined were going to be in it. I had no idea the docuseries existed until like days before it came out.
What if it was like buried in the message requests of one of their inboxes?
That would be funny.
They were just like, oh shit.
That would be funny.
No idea Girl Defined was in it. Kristen didn't either. So if people are like, oh, did you know your clips are going to be in it? Like, no, we came to watching this Shiny Happy People docuseries just like the rest of you. Like, we heard of it days before it came out. And then we were like, oh, there's some clips of us in it. I only got head nods in it. I was like this. Kristen got words. I was just like this the whole time.
Oh, she's like, so triggered by that. She would say, I only got head nods because she's so triggered.
I didn't get any words in the documentary that was critical about me. What the fuck?
And look at Krista. She's so happy about this because that never happens.
So that was my big moment.
We had to
stop doing that.
Two very tiny clips. Moment. It was in episode 4. So if you're like, oh, you're interested in seeing us in it, you can watch episode 4 of the 4-part docuseries. And it was just
not
two tiny clips amongst a whole bunch of other Christian influencers, Christian ministries, young people, millennials for the most part, from what I could tell. And it was basically that part of the documentary was in some ways saying like, oh, and the, you know, Bill Gothard's, his toxic teaching, it continues on. And this is the next generation of people kind of carrying the torch forward. And it's just hilarious to me because half of those people, maybe even more, like have no clue who Bill Gothard even is. Yes. Like, what? And so that was kind of interesting.
But you do. That's the difference.
Well, it's almost like these principles, as much as they come from the man, they also come from very literal interpretations of the Bible. Yeah. And I'm just waiting for these idiots to come out and point out to me how what they have and what they believe and what they talk about is so much different than IVLP.
Seriously.
Like, I'll sit here and wait. Tell me how different you are.
Like, the people they chose. And, like, I'm like, yeah. The messages that I know most of those people that they featured, like, their messages are nothing like the teachings of Bill Gothard, yes, or anything even close to that. So
that was funny. It was kind of comical.
Yeah. So maybe stop interrupting. You've already mentioned, like, you did appreciate some things about the documentary, that it wasn't just, okay, this is horrible, we shouldn't watch this, but like, no, it's worth watching. It's worth discussing. In fact, there were some things that were really good that we appreciate that were exposed, that they did bring to the light. And so I don't know, maybe for you, share some of those. And then I have some of my thoughts too.
Yeah, so some of the things that I appreciated and thought were important were, like, yes, there was in any organization where the gospel isn't the first, like, thing forward, and where it's not truly about Jesus, it becomes about man-made rules, which I think IVLP really
shut.
Is this how she's justifying this?
Like, was lacking in.
Have you seen the fucking umbrella? That is, like, one of the main teachings of IVLP.
You live your life by that. Who's at the fucking
top? Who's at the top? Jesus.
They're trying to separate themselves, though. They don't belong to an organization that their manly desires override their ability.
This is just rules of man. Turns out some of those rules of man do kind of coincide with things that we talk about, but this is just not what we do.
A gospel-centered perspective and really became about, like, a works-based righteousness. And you hear, I mean, I remember hearing so much of that in the teaching, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, that really was present, of just, you do these things and God will bless you. You don't do these things, or you do wrong things and God will curse you. I know Ginger Volo, Duggar, talked a lot about that in her book. And so when you do that, it does leave a lot of room for people in power, authority, you know, to kind of, like, control other people or abuse other people, manipulate, and the stories that were shared about certain people's experiences being, abused or manipulated, that is so awful and so heartbreaking. And especially that it was done in the name of Christ is just the worst. And we,
you know, so the principles are just rules of man, but the abuse was done in the name of Christ.
Yep.
Got it.
Well, and here's the thing, that
just wanted to make sure that was straight.
I don't agreed with that at all. But here's the thing, is if they condensed what they're saying right now and just said that and didn't fucking say anything else, then this would be tolerable. It's not okay, but it's tolerable. But instead they have to do the, it's bad, just like Paul and Morgan, it's bad, but
yeah.
We know people who have those experiences. That wasn't my experience or your experience necessarily, but the fact that this program did kind of create that structure for that to happen is awful. And I think that part of the documentary and them exposing that and giving victims a voice to share, I think is crucial. And I think that we need to approach that with a ton of compassion, and just our heart should break, just like God's heart breaks when his word is misused and when people are harmed and wronged. I mean, that is so heartbreaking. So
I'm confused.
I really was...
I feel like this is where I can see how Girl Defined is on the right path, because she does acknowledge stuff like that. It seems like they are.
Yeah, but it's a complete contradiction to everything she said 5 minutes ago.
Which is where that's where there's being progress, because she hasn't let go of some of that other shit. Whereas Paul and Morgan are still just cruising on the low road, baby.
Definitely. But it just seems to me like it's half-hearted. She's so used to word salad preaching shit that she doesn't even realize what she's saying, which even if that's the case, it's still harmful. We're still causing harm. But it just seems like she talks about how everything but and all this and qualifying and justifying and doing all this. And then we should have compassion for the victims because it's an awful thing. So, like, which is it? Because this isn't like a both and situation.
No.
Like, this is not like a nuanced take on abuse. Like, I'm a firm believer in most things there's nuance and we can hold two things in one hand, even if they're very different. But this isn't one of those situations.
No.
You can't be like nuanced about abuse.
I hate that happened. And I know that happens in all sorts of families and organizations. It's not just like conservative movements, but because it's like the name of Christ that's being used to do that is just awful. So I was really grateful that they were exposing them.
Yeah. I think one of the other things that they exposed, which is true across the board, whether it's a Christian-based organization or not, when you place one man as the head honcho of the entire program and everybody is now kind of trained in a sense to look to this one man as the man who has the answers, the man who has all the wisdom, the man who is creating all of the programs, all of the curriculum.
And looking at you, Mormonism. Upheld.
Like,
real fucking talk, dude.
Not like he is God, but like he almost has this special in with God. You know, almost like I heard some people describe it, even Ginger Volo Duggar described it as.
On a side note, every time I see Ginger's name in writing, my brain goes, Jinger. Okay, hopefully there's no issues because I'm having technical difficulties over here.
Through that and even thinking back on my experience, like, okay, that's interesting to think about the things that were not biblical in how they were, like how we were told to live them out. Like you're saying, so many of the man-made rules for just like legalism or like the way you should live morally that maybe is like adding a lot to scripture. But yeah, there were a lot of things that were biblically based and that were true. So it's just, we have to be discerning in anything. But I think the biggest problem was that the entire organization was centered around one man. And I don't know if that's how they intended it from the beginning or if that's just like because it became so popular, families, I think, were genuinely coming.
Because it's like only one person in an organization is capable of being a bad person.
It's true.
Like if you have multiple people in your organization, then you're immune from that.
Yeah.
Don't know how that works.
If you had three, would that help it?
Like Mormonism?
Yeah. The joke
I mean, ultimately, there's still one prophet.
So. Yeah. Ultimately, if you have more than one person who is bad, then you can't keep the others in check, which sucks.
I have news for you. Everyone is inherently capable of being a bad person. Some more than others.
What? Oh, fucking A. That's
horrible thing to think about, but it is
news
true
to me.
Out of like the sexual revolution, kind of like the hippie days and kids rebelling and sex, drugs and rock and roll. And I think parents were genuinely like, we need a good program for our kids. Like we need good teaching. We want them to be around like-minded Christians.
Parents those days were like, we've tried nothing and nothing is working. Oh my God.
I hit my kids.
Let's fucking hit them from birth. That'll fix it.
And so I think many families had good hearts and that they wanted community. They wanted, you know, a safe place for their children, quote unquote.
A safe space? I'm fucking triggered right
now.
I'm
saying right now, the safest place for a kid is not a church.
Statistically,
statistically, you would be right. It is not. Unfortunately.
But then I think the problem escalated as time went on and it did become so centered around one man and everyone rallied around that person. And then it just became, you know, you have to protect the image, you have to protect the man. Yeah. And then that's when I think abuse started happening behind the scenes and people wouldn't talk about it because it would ruin the image of the organization.
Yes.
And that's when you know you've strayed because it's no longer about Jesus isn't the center. Like you said, the gospel isn't the center.
That's the only reason that people didn't talk. It's also likely that people did and they weren't believed. It's also likely that many of them did not feel safe. It's likely that many of them were threatened or intimidated, yeah. like was mentioned in the documentary.
Or, best of all, if they did come forward and they were believed, they were shamed into it being their fault.
Yes.
It's more about protecting the image of the organization and yes. just doing whatever you can to protect the image of the man that you follow.
Yeah. I really appreciated, like, the name, actually, I really like, because it's something that I think a lot of Christians can fall into is, you know, especially as you become, like, I'm a parent now, you're a parent, and there can be a temptation to look a certain way, even on social media, present a certain way of, like, you know, put togetherness and not be honest and not be even with people in your own church, in your own community, about the reality of our hearts. And, like, instead of needing to be perfect to get to God, it's like, that's the very gospel. We are not perfect. We are not shiny. We are not, like, happy on our own.
Congrats. You just discovered the entire point of the documentary. Wow. Congratulations.
We need Christ.
That's why it's the title.
At the end of the day, it's like his perfection. So, like, he is perfect. And then we get to be adopted into his family. And so I think, like, tearing down this whole idea of, like, okay,
I thought everybody was, like, already a son or daughter of God.
I don't know what the fuck she's saying.
Do they believe that? I don't know.
I don't know, like, you know, we need to have these perfect families because that's what's going to get people to Christ. Like, no, it's our weaknesses and Christ's strength and goodness and perfection that draws people to Christ. Like, we aren't Christ, you know? And so I just really, really appreciated.
But you sure love to point it out on everyone else.
Seriously.
Like, you take this, we're so humble and we all go to church because we're so sinful and all this, but you're like, the second a trans person exists in your vicinity, it's like you'd have a fucking meltdown. So, like, which is it?
Seriously.
That and is something, as I now raise my own kids, that I don't want to fall into of trying to, like, have this perfect image. And so I think that was definitely worth calling out. I'm curious your thoughts, though, like, the whole thing really was about, like, the Duggars and IBLP. I feel like that was the focus of the conversation. I think, Jill Duggar was the main Duggar that talked in the documentary. And Ginger Duggar-Volo, you know, she recently released a book we did a podcast episode with her. So it seems like some of the Duggars are kind of, like, coming up as adults and starting to share their story. And so my thoughts on that whole part, you know, their family was on reality TV, and a lot of them, they started as kids, and so they didn't really have a choice for their lives to be completely public. And so I know there's disagreement, like, should she be sharing in this way? Should Ginger even be sharing in the way that she's sharing so publicly? And my take on all that is that, you know, I think the parents, they chose kind of, like, the path that they set their family on, a very public path. And now that the kids are adults, I think that it's perfectly fair. And I actually think it's...
I was a little nervous.
I was nervous, but this is a shockingly refreshing take from Bethany.
Very refreshing.
Good for them to be able to have, like, their own opportunity to share as adults, as marrieds, as their own families.
Look at the marrieds.
We're marrieds.
Well, it makes sense because she refers to everybody as the singles. Like, when she markets her courses, it's for the singles.
It's for the singles.
The marrieds.
Say, hey, these are my thoughts. Whether we agree or disagree with every last thing they're saying, I think it's really important. And so I personally didn't agree with the part, the Duggar family released a statement saying, like, oh, this should all happen behind closed doors. Like, I personally didn't agree with that because I feel like, well, you didn't give them a choice.
Yeah, no shit. Based. It was the things that happened behind closed doors that are getting people in trouble. So,
based, Bethany.
Clear.
And you put them before everyone their whole lives. And now that they're sharing and it's not making you look positive, now you don't like it. Like, they didn't have a choice how they looked in these videos and stuff. So just as, like, an adult in the similar age range, in that way, like I said, whether you agree with everything Jill says or not, I personally think that's a positive that she has the opportunity to share, just like Ginger has the opportunity to share it. And to me, I think that's a good thing.
Ginger.
But I don't know. That's just my perspective. I don't know. How did you feel about that kind of?
Yeah, no, I think it's perfectly fair. Situation. I think it's perfectly fair that your whole life is on reality TV. Some of the hardest, darkest moments, especially for some of the girls with the abuse they suffered and then having to give statements publicly and talk about it, which it sounded like from the documentary, like Jill wasn't really wanting to, but felt like obligated to because of the show and just the image. Yeah. And needing to speak up. And so I just feel so bad that they had to go through that and then had to do it publicly and share their heart and share in a very emotional and broken place where it just didn't seem like they really wanted to. So now on the other side, it does seem perfectly fair and right that they would get to, as adults, like you said, as married women with kids, get to say, this is where we're at and this is how we feel and this is what we think about these things. And then, you know, I really appreciate my whole conversation that I did have with Ginger. I don't know what episode number it is. We'll link it below.
Oh, she had Ginger on the podcast, didn't she?
Can we just stop calling survivors broken or people just in general broken?
No.
Like to be like, she had to talk from this very broken place.
You guys
place.
Are focusing on your rebrand. I think that is one of the pieces of vocabulary you should have left behind.
Like, don't describe them. It's you guys in the word broken are like attached. I don't understand. Pick another word that doesn't describe people in a negative way.
Yeah. Nobody's broken.
No.
But go back and listen to that because she shares really in depth her whole, just her personal experience of growing up in the family, growing up in the movement of IBLP, the teachings of Bill Gothard, how that impacted her and her view of Christianity, her view of always trying to measure up, live this perfect life that would please God in every way, be a shiny, happy person, but ultimately how that left her so anxious, so fearful. And it wasn't until she understood the true gospel that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's God's grace, his mercy. Christ's work on the cross, that's what saved us. It's because we're not enough, because we're not shiny enough. And she talks all about that. And it's so refreshing. Just her entire testimony and how she finally.
I'm checked out.
I love that.
Love that.
Jesus only loves shiny people.
Yeah. It's funny that they are considering this to be a Christian movement when she's making the distinction right there along with Ginger that it's not by works that you're saved, but it's by grace. Because from what I'm given to understand, that's the main reason why people have issue with considering Mormons Christians is because of that difference where Mormons, and I've said it before, it's more nuanced than by works that you're saved. There's more than that, but I just thought that was a little interesting.
It
was
interesting.
Found freedom, and it wasn't freedom by breaking away. You know, the freedom didn't come just by breaking away from IBLP or just, you know, thinking differently than maybe her parents. It came from her heart seeing the gospel, seeing the beauty of Jesus, seeing his redemptive work, seeing the freedom that comes from his forgiveness and walking in the newness of Christ, she's living wholeheartedly for him and not based on works, receiving his love because it's an unconditional gift from the Father because of Christ's work. That is the freedom that she experienced. Yeah. And so I just love that so much. It's
her
so powerful and I'm so grateful.
That's like getting to me.
Jesus.
She wrote her book that she's speaking up, that she's sharing, and she's not swinging to another side of just completely taking on maybe like a victim mindset, a victim lifestyle of woe is me. I can't believe these things happened to me. And then kind of just retaliating and getting.
What the fuck is wrong with that? Exactly.
Again, victim shaming. Like, victims can only respond in the way that people approve of.
They're in a more soft manner, taking the approach of, I like Ginger because she is more palatable than Jill. Because Jill is more outspoken about, even though it sounds like Jill is still Christian and doesn't have, like, these wildly offensive worldviews, like, they want to ascribe to people like us. So.
Well, not to mention that. Oh, the thought just flew out of my head.
Did I word that right? She has some. Jill still has some problematic views.
Yeah.
And they think that. Problematic views that they would still have. And yeah, anyway.
Angry, like she's using it for good and she's using it to like it, God has just used it for good in her life. And you can see the transformation, the freedom, the peace that she has as a result of dealing
with
Christ.
The way that she processes trauma better than the way somebody else processes trauma. And I have authority to speak on this. Like, shut the fuck up. Their job is not to make their trauma palatable for you.
I think there is good coming from them speaking up.
Yeah. I think one of the most positive things that I can think of is that, like, one, I am so grateful I enjoy hearing about the terrible things that Josh Duggar did. Like, I could barely even like think about it because it makes my heart like crushed in a million pieces, like having kids, like, and, you know, you can watch a docuseries. I won't go into what, you know, he did, but he's in jail. And I think that it's just a reminder that you cannot like put on enough good actions. You can't put on the right outfit. You can't dress a certain way to like fix the heart. Like, you have to be transformed by Christ. And Josh Duggar was clearly not. And, you know, just did a lot of evil. And, you know, even though he looked like a shiny, happy person and looked and could say all the right things, it's like, that doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, it's about the heart. And so I appreciate that they bring that story to light, because I think we need to remember that. Like, you just can't act your way into goodness. You can't look your way into like righteousness, you know?
I don't know.
You
it
guys
seems
do
like
it all the time.
Yeah, it seems like Josh did a pretty fucking good job of it, and all of the Duggars. And there's probably a million more other things.
Yep.
There are people, countless people who do it in Mormonism, who are able to attain high levels of power within the church, and they're awful, terrible fucking people who do terrible things and were supposedly vetted by God himself and revealed to other higher ups to be chosen for that position.
Yep. Like,
I don't know. It sounds like you can be a shiny, happy enough person to fool everybody.
Yep.
Look absolutely great and still be very, you know, I don't know, very, very away from God. I think the stuff they also brought up about Jim Bob, the dad, if you hear crying in the background, that's my kids down there. Kristen and I are doing this very early in the morning, and we've got a house full of kiddos. And so it is what it is. But if, you know, what Jill is saying, and I think the direct testimonies of people saying, this is for me what happened, I think we choose to say for you, not speculating on other people, but what they're saying about them, I think it's worth believing. And, you know, Jill is saying for 7.5 years of her adult life, she didn't.
Thanks, Bethany, for saying that it's worth it. I'm so glad that you're like, yeah, it's worth it when people say that they were abused to believe them. Yeah, I guess.
I suppose. Mentally, you know, it's
probably a good thing.
I suppose it's a good idea to listen to those people.
I guess.
Whatever.
Receive a single penny from the show. To me, that is really messed up and really weird. And I was like thinking of our family, and I'm like, if we want to show him, like, oh my goodness, like our dad would probably have like set up bank accounts and like for years, even as kids, would have been putting money in that for us, like aside, not to compare, but just thinking like that is so like that struck me as like very bizarre and really just made me feel really bad for them that they had, you know, even monetarily, like they didn't receive anything from like having their entire lives put forth, you know, and actually in some ways were struggling financially. It's like, that was ridiculous to me, you know? And so I think in that way, like, I'm glad she had a chance to say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the things that we maybe appreciated about the show.
Yeah. Now let's talk about what we hated.
Were positive outcomes because
okay, this is probably where we're going to find a turning point.
Did expose some good things and exposing justice, you know, and like you said, people like Josh Duggar who say all the right things, look the right way, you know, can play the part, but then your heart can truly be so far away from God. It just speaks to the reality that no system, no program, no curriculum, no teaching that is outside of the gospel can transform. It doesn't matter how good you look on the outside. And that was a wake up call, even for me as a mom.
So like, why were you advertising Girl Defined conferences and writing books and doing all that bullshit if it doesn't really transform? Are you telling me that it was for you to make money?
No,
I don't believe that.
Not at all.
Not for a second.
Now with my boys to think like it's not about finding the right program, getting the best 5-step curriculum, you know, whatever it is, like getting involved in just the right group. It's like, no, the Lord has to change our hearts. He has to work in my heart, in my children's heart, my husband's heart. It's like, if your heart is far away from the Lord, it doesn't matter the programs you're in. It doesn't matter.
I took my headphones.
Or how conservative, whatever.
Oh, don't do that.
Like you can,
you scared me.
Do everything like, you think is right. You can even try to safeguard and protect your kids as much as possible. But if their hearts are not changed by the Lord, then their hearts, then it's just going to be
hearts again. Oh my God. I can't hear it. It's too much.
It's not going to be genuine. And so just that reminder for me, like, It's not about finding the perfect program, although we are thankful for...
Damn, they should have got both of them head bobbing for the tongue.
Biblically based programs and curriculum. I am thankful for all of that.
Yeah.
Christian community, gospel centered churches, like 100%. But just remembering, like, it has to be the Lord changing the heart. And that has to be the focus for why we do what we do. Our motivation
they don't even know
has
what
to be fueled by the gospel, or it is just going to be a facade.
Yeah.
So moving in, I know we...
Yeah.
We have a lot more to cover. Things that we maybe felt like were not balanced or were very one-sided, the or way that they portrayed certain groups of people, things that we disagree with in the documentary.
Yeah.
I'll let you kick it off with your thoughts on that.
Okay.
Because she's dying to talk. She can't take it anymore.
She's going
to
explode,
she's
Kristen.
She's going to explode.
Please, turn it back over to her.
I mean, okay, so our friends, Paul and Morgan, they created a whole...
Are we entering Bad Take City here?
Yep. Go on it. They had firsthand experience with the producers and stuff. And so I thought that was interesting. We'll link their video. You can go watch their experience as well.
Hopefully it stays up.
But I think their experience tied into kind of like my take on the negative aspect.
I don't know. They will probably keep it up because... Analytics don't matter, but this is their best performing video in a pretty long time. So,
and never fear.
It's probably not going to go down anytime soon. However, just go and look at the dislikes to likes ratio.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's not
also,
good.
They have been going on a tangent on Instagram. Both of them are like very triggered, saying that like their own Christian followers are turning against them and that these people lack discernment.
Perhaps it's your dog shit take. How about that? Have you ever considered that maybe you're not as awesome as you think you are?
No, because
I
can't
always
be wrong.
Consider that. I always consider that I might fucking suck.
That kind of goes together. So they shared, Paul and Morgan, they specifically had in their contract to where they were able to speak about it afterward. They changed that in their contract, which I'm glad they did. But their experience with the creators of this docuseries was very deceitful and very, producers and directors, whoever, like literally just lied to them to get them on there knowing full well that they wanted
bullshit.
To make Paul and
straight
Morgan
up,
look
bullshit.
Really.
Straight up, bullshit.
No.
If you haven't watched...
They definitely didn't pull a Matt Walsh and What Is a Woman and make fake LLCs to be able to fool people into doing a fucking interview with him, but go off, I guess.
They did not lie, and they were very nice, and that has been explained many times over and by other people, including our best friend, who was our bestie, Jen, who was interviewed by them as well, who was able to also confirm some things.
Well, we'll link her video right here, because...
If you know Jen, you've watched it already. Yeah. But the point being...
A lot of you have already seen it.
Like, we have ample evidence and experiences to know that...
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit, and the producers have come across multiple times as very nice people. Jen's... comments about them were extremely positive, and
well, Jen is the blue-haired liberal that they were looking to have on.
Pink-haired liberal.
Oh, sorry,
thank you very much. But nonetheless, Paul and Morgan are melting down, so it's not surprising to me that they've been in communication.
Terrible, and look like they're trying to carry on this, you know, horrible, you know, message to the next generations and stuff. But the emails, the calls that Paul and Morgan had with these producers were the exact opposite. The producers and directors were basically telling them, like, no, this is really a 360 look at.
Okay, post the receipts. If that's truly, if you have an email of it, I want to fucking see that, because if I were going to levy accusations like this, I would make sure that there's not a shadow of a doubt that that could be misconstrued.
But also, I don't think there's much misconstruing here, because for the producers to say, yeah, this is a 360 view, I think that the breakdown with them is that they think that they were portrayed inaccurately. When all the producer said is, this is a 360 view of the content that you fucking put on the internet.
Yeah.
Why is this such a hard thing for you guys to understand? Like, it be your own mouse.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is hard for you.
Screenshot the emails. You can blackout, whatever. I don't care. But if it's truly, if you feel like you truly were misled, I feel like you would present this kind of information.
I just don't even know that makes a difference.
No, probably not.
Because I think that anybody's nice to them is like, they must be Christian because they weren't.
Only good people who
them.
Are nice to us can be Christian.
Christianity, this is not like a hit piece, all of that. And so in some ways I'm like, you know, that kind of to me
it's
is like
funny
yeah.
how the story is evolving just after one iteration. It's not a hit piece. I don't think Paula Morgan said that.
It shows you where the heart of the producers, the creators were. They weren't trying to make Christianity look good in any way. They really were trying to find a story and use an angle to take down conservative Christianity and to say, look, because this fringe movement, this specific organization was so bad, all of homeschooling, all of Christianity, all of it is so
okay,
bad.
So
and
here's my
crazy. And
here's my issue with this. We have a lot of Christians that watch our content, which we love. Great.
There's a lot of Christians who watch Paula Morgan's content.
Here's the deal, though. On our last video that we did of Paula and Morgan, one of the most liked comments on the whole video was, I'm a Christian, and I did not have any issues with the documentary, did not feel called out, and was very glad that they were able to produce it and bring survivors' stories, so something like that. But how many comments we got that said, I'm a Christian, seriously, and I did not feel called out, or I'm a Christian, and I thought this was really important. So, like, for them to be like, all of Christianity is bad, all of homeschooling is bad.
Yeah,
like,
they were slamming Christianity the whole fucking four episodes.
Because all you guys know is extremes.
Yeah.
There's no middle.
Jordan, no, these people in our comments and the people who were critical to Paula Morgan in their comments section as well, they're not Paul's fabled trademark biblical Christians.
I guess.
They're fake Christians.
They lack discernment.
They lack discernment. They're not real Christians. And their opinions can be discounted because they're fake.
Discern this. You're just a fucking bigot.
Discern these fucking nuts.
Wackos and like we need to just completely like unless you're deconstructing Waco and completely rejecting all of that. Like you're
they live in Texas.
It's an Office reference, please.
Part of the problem. And it's like, whoa, what in the world? Like, that is ridiculous and so extreme. And so the way that they just lumped every single homeschooler, every single conservative Christian into one boat and are basically like, if you are not deconstructing, you are a part of the problem. Like, that whole messaging
dude,
is was
verbatim what they were saying
said,
Paul and
yeah,
Morgan's
they just took
video
what Paul Morgan said. That's seriously it. As somebody who's homeschooling their hello preschooler, we did
whoa
not get that at all.
Yeah,
from
I did not feel lumped in with the fucking awful Christians who were allowing abuse
your
to happen in their
homeschooling
churches. Yeah, I didn't feel lumped in at all.
No. Ridiculous. I mean, we know many homeschoolers. We know many conservative Christians who had
more
completely different experiences, very positive experiences homeschooling, very positive experiences as a Christian, and who are really following after Christ, doing very well, and who want to homeschool their kids as well in a good way. I mean, it's like, that part really was ridiculous. And I think anyone, if you use discernment looking on, can see the angle that they were taking with that. And I think that's just kind of slimy.
I don't
and
know.
Kind of like,
from oh where I'm standing, you were homeschooled and we see you on fucking Instagram doing message boxes and just copying and pasting people's responses into a document that you're selling back to them. Like, I don't know. That's just my entrepreneur. She's an entrepreneur. Come on. That's just my observation from where I'm standing.
You're a married.
Like,
I'm a married.
Shut up. You're
what
a
the fuck do I know?
Okay, that I think you could have done a better job making your point, but it just really gave you away that you really don't like conservative Christians and you really have like a thing against them. And so to me, it just kind of showed their true hearts in that way, which I think was it was that part felt kind of weak to me because it was so obvious. So that
yes, it was.
I really didn't like how they were kind of and how I perceived they were really against me because I would like it more if they were more obvious about it, like the way that we're obvious about hating trans people. Mm-hmm. It's really the outward obvious hate that is what I ride with. So mm-hmm.
I didn't like
camera blinking.
So you weren't passionate.
It's always blinking.
Is it supposed to do that?
Yeah.
The little battery thing on the left side?
Oh, no, that means it's recording to the SD card.
Now I'm paranoid.
Not that at all. Not even.
I am too. Not going to lie.
I think it's kind of, I just thought it was kind of ridiculous and also, but kind mm-hmm. of comical at the same time. Like, I'm not mad about it. I'm just kind of like, like you just made your,
are
your
you though?
That was a funky face. Hold on, I'm going to back it up a second.
I'm not mad about it. I'm just kind of like, like you just made your
why'd she look like a turtle right there? Like, I'm sorry. This is coming from a goofy looking motherfucker. I'm not trying to.
We're not
to
saying
hide
Bethany
that
looks like a turtle, but her face her did
face
for a second
looked like a turtle right there.
Like your heart motivation about this, like, so obvious. Like, you really don't like us. We get it. You know? Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yes. And it seemed very.
It's not like they fucking made legislation against Christians or anything like that all across the country. They've introduced hundreds of bills just in the last legislative session alone against Christian people.
Wow.
Oh, wait. That was Christian wild people against trans children. Okay. I remember.
Right. We guess that they were bringing in, like, Jill Duggar to say, like, look, we have a Duggar. She's sharing her experience to almost validate everything else that they were saying. All of the things that we feel like were not balanced. They were saying this fringe movement, they weren't calling out. They were acting like it was all conservatives, all homeschool families, all Christians, basically.
I missed the part where they said that.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to introduce a very anecdotal point here. My best friend he just kind of keeps in touch with the stuff that we do on a very surface level. He's not like in the thick of it. He watched our last episode and he was like, these people are saying some wild fucking stuff. He's never been religious or really at all. And he went and watched the documentary after watching the episode we did with about Paul and Morgan. And he was totally awestruck that they were able to take these points. And like, he was like, these people were not even watching the same shit as I was, because it was
unsurprising.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's not, these people are too interested to see the fucking point that's right in front of their faces. They just want to hear what they want to hear.
Nope.
It's crazy.
Reality, you know, we did attend some of the programs. We were also very involved in our homeschool community.
And we're fine.
In Texas, we had a lot of friends who knew nothing about IBLP, who'd never heard the name Bill Gothard.
Most didn't
we played
know
sports. We played sports. We wore makeup. We wore pants. I mean, our whole like dating experience was not, you know, the same where you have the third wheel always in tow, Duggar style. Like our whole experience was so different. And yet we also did go to some of the programs, attend some of the conferences, and we were able to say, like, okay, there were, even back then, I remember thinking, like, okay, there are some things I don't really agree with and some things that are kind of weird. And even our parents were like, eh, we're not really into that. And we're not going to uphold Bill Gothard on a pedestal. He was never upheld as any sort of like amazing man in our home. Prophet, it was just like, oh, great. There's some, there's great community. Like, we could meet some people.
Congrats.
Like,
I don't know. That's like default. I don't know what.
They're using this to discount.
Yeah.
Stories.
Oh, well, we didn't know. We weren't all in. I don't know these other people who were all in what they were doing, but I don't know. The Duggar girls who were on this should just shut the fuck up.
God, drives me nuts.
Some friends, learn some things, and then we would throw out the things we didn't want, you know, the things that we felt like weren't balanced or biblical, and then we would take the things that we felt like were. And so our experience was so different than the fringe experience of some people. And we're not going to, like, everyone has their own experience. So those who shared in the docuseries, they have their experience. And for some of them, they experience tragic things, abuse at the hands of this organization, of this man. And I am saying that is a horrible thing. I am so heartbroken that happened. That's awful. Again, I think it happens when you place any man on a pedestal and make him to be almost like a godlike person for the organization. But what I didn't appreciate was how in the docuseries, most of the people, 95% of the people that they had on there that were interviewed were people who were against conservatives, who grew up in the IBLP movement, but are now deconstructing.
Give me the receipts.
In many ways, turning
away. 95%. You don't even know the number of people involved in this documentary to produce that fucking number. But give me receipts. I want you to pull it up.
You're no, she's discerning this number, Jordan.
Oh, okay.
There is no evidence. It's just discerned.
This is the thing that drives me nuts, is this is just total bullshit. Like, many of the survivors didn't talk about religion. Some of them did. Some of them talked about like where they are at in their journey.
Yeah.
That's also not information that you need to know and are not privileged or entitled to. But
it's,
you don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Like, why is this?
It's not.
It's just an excuse for them to discredit the documentary as something that they would need to maybe look in a mirror.
Evil atheists are out to get the Christians.
It's an evil atheist documentary.
Seriously.
By producers where we don't even know what their religious or spiritual beliefs are, but we know that it's an evil atheist documentary.
Yeah.
from the faith who are really attacking homeschoolers and homeschool families and anyone who is still, you know, not completely deconstructing. They're basically, like you said, looking to those people and saying, well, now you're part of the problem. You're carrying on the torch. You're continuing this cult. But where are the other voices? Like, where are the other people in the docuseries saying like, okay, hey, I was in that program or I was a part of that conference and here's my experience. It didn't ruin my life. And this,
oh my God.
Both sides, good people on both sides kind of situation.
This is unbelievable. It is the same fucking take as Paul and Morgan. And you almost have to like keep a sense of humor about this because if you watched our Paul and Morgan video, we had to stop because I couldn't take it anymore. As a fellow person who was abused and in a religious institution and had it covered up and yada, 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 you know, like, it's just almost like the only way I can process this anymore is to like have some sort of humor about it because it makes me feel better. And about it, that's like the only way I can tolerate it at this point. It just you like it has to be not real. Like it's so hard to wrap your mind around the fact that there are actually people that think this way and that are like, where are the people that had good experience with IBLP?
Yeah. We want to hear from the people who weren't abused.
Like
that's pertinent information.
We don't need a documentary about the people who weren't abused by IBLP. That's not the point. Like, you're just looking for any way, shape, and form that you can to victim blame, victim shame, decenter survivors, the whole point of the fucking documentary. It's like you're just shoving them in a corner and going, where are the people that did have good experiences? I don't want to hear from these people.
Yeah. Their story, I don't like it. It's too sad.
I don't like it. It makes me feel bad about myself. Yeah. So give me something else.
Same way. You know, I never suffered any sort of abuse. I was never felt manipulated in any way. I felt like I had free will. I can make choices. Like
great.
I could take the good and leave the bad and I moved on with my life and I'm doing just fine.
Awesome.
Like I don't know.
You seem pretty held up on your sexual brokenness for like a good number of years.
I mean, how long ago was it that she did that indignant rant about masturbation in her car? And then the indignant rant about transphobia not long after that or before that. Like, it, not a good look.
Not a good look.
Balance of other perspectives, which is why we're thankful that we can even share this and say, like, it didn't wreck everyone's life in the way that they're portraying it. And in fact, it was a very small fringe movement within conservative.
Why is she like, we were far removed from it. We weren't really in it. And then she's also like, look at me. I was part of it. Now I'm just fine.
That's what I'm saying is they talk out both sides of their mouth all the time. And so it's hard to like, I want to give them credit where credit is due. But like just with earlier, it just seems like everything they say, something else later on just cancels it out. And so I don't even think these two have original thoughts in their brains. I think they just peddle shit, whatever comes to fucking mind, because they contradict themselves all of the time.
Constantly.
It's just like regurgitated nonsense between them and Paul and Morgan. Like, I don't know if they all like put a bunch of sentences in a Word doc and then they all just like copy paste and add and copy paste. And like, I don't understand. Like, it's which side are you on? Which side?
Conservative Christianity, whatever. It wasn't the majority like they make it out to be.
That's not what they said.
I thought they're the strongest part of
Did I have the captions on the whole time?
Documentary?
No.
I'm going to turn it off.
You didn't.
Sorry, everybody. It'll generate our own captions on here.
It was probably the direct testimony. I thought the weakest part of the documentary were like the experts, because it was like they specifically chose people who are already looking in on this movement and like hate it and who are like maybe a YouTuber and they just really do not like a conservative Christian.
It's
and it's like you're putting them up there and showcasing them as the expert. Like, of course they're going to have nothing but negative things to say. Like, you know, obvious, you know? So it was like, to me, it's like, okay, that was kind of weak in my opinion. Like, bring in some people who can really actually poke holes. Like, that's why you have to look at the docuseries and say it's for entertainment.
What?
It boggles my mind that that was shade at Jen, by the way. I'm sure Paul and Morgan told them to throw that in there.
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't because Jen has come for these two as well. Based on their own words, we're not misinterpreting here. Like, we're not portraying or sending a narrative or an agenda. This is literally whatever the fuck comes out of you guys' mouths. But then they discredit all the other people who participated in the documentary like they just picked up haters off the street. Like, this is not like they picked journalists, they picked professors, they picked like one of the experts that they brought in is a professor at a religious university. And so I'm like,
yeah.
You can't they included they're a pastor. Not, like I'm just yeah. It boggles my mind that they're like
it's not their picks. Their picks have to be the ones that are in there or else we don't want to fucking hear it.
Yeah, what did you want? You want Josh on here?
Yeah.
Because really that's what it that sounds
there
like.
Should have been somebody like Josh on there, somebody who is an abuser to really kind of poke holes in mm-hmm. the narrative, the mm-hmm. agenda yeah. of the documentary. Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch.
It's a moneymaker, you know? It's supposed to be sensationalized because clearly, like, you know, they're not.
Abuse isn't sensationalized. It's just so abuse. Sensationalized. It's just abuse. There's nothing sensational yeah. about it. If it's sensationalized to you, then that's a problem. But it's not because
there is sensationalization. Is that a word? People sensationalize abuse, but it's made up as a right-wing talking point.
They don't like the other side of that.
You're holding up a mirror to yourself and you just want to pretend that it's fake. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what people, conservative Christians, are doing.
Abuse isn't sensational. They're grooming children.
It's literally, yeah, it's the whole fucking litter boxes in elementary schools, like, all over again.
It's, if you're uncomfortable watching this documentary, you should be.
Yeah.
If you're not uncomfortable watching this, that's concerning. Like, it should make you uncomfortable. It should blow your fucking mind in some senses and be like, oh my God, this is horrible. It should do all those things. And then if it triggers something in you, like it's triggered something in you guys and Paul and Morgan and Brittany and everybody else, like, that's your cue to look inward. Because you're triggered by this because it's a little too similar, all too similar to the things that you live your lives by still. Because we can play the same song and dance all day long that you're not IBLP and you don't have a hard-on for Bill Gothard and all of these things. But at the end of the day, if we asked you to sit down and pick out the differences, there wouldn't be that many. And I think that's why this is so fucking triggering to you, because you know it's not that far off from what you practice currently. And people like Josh are within your circles.
Yeah.
Whether you want to believe it or not.
Do we need a reminder? Let me roll it real quick.
Thank you, Michelle.
Like, I just don't. This is 100% because it hits too close to fucking home for you. And so you do what all the other fucking conservative Christians do, which is when something triggers me, then I spew it outward.
Yeah.
It's everybody else's problem. It's not my problem. I don't practice this shit. This isn't me. But in reality, it is, and you don't like it. And you can't process it, so you just spew vitriol and hatred on everybody else. And that's a you problem, not a survivors of abuse problem.
Bringing on really strong experts. They're specifically finding people who can really drive a narrative home.
Oh my
God. Even, you know, specifically bringing on, like, our friends, Paul and Morgan, they're, like, you know, specifically bringing them on. And Paul and Morgan said they filmed in for literally were interviewed for 4.5 hours, and it was like 2.5 minutes of what they did was shown. And it's like one tiny clip about, like, what are your thoughts on submission? It's like, oh my goodness, of course they're trying to show a certain perspective.
That's even how a Alex fucking Harris, documentary works. They film hours and hours and hours and hours of material from people because you want to have more than enough, not enough. And one of the survivors, I think it was Tia Levings, talked about how I think she was interviewed for upwards of like 8 hours. And how much, I mean, she had talking points through all 4 episodes and talked quite a bit. Yeah. And that probably doesn't even amount to like an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
Or an hour and a half of her contributions.
Probably not even that.
Probably
much.
Not even.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take away from the points, and it's not constructing a narrative. It's putting things together in a cohesive format. And it's time. Like, they talked about, one of the producers in one of the AMAs she did talked about how they have so much more material and things that they couldn't even touch on, and that they're hoping that Amazon will approve another season so that they can continue and expand on some of the things. But that's the thing, is they were also limited in the time that they had to cover all these topics. And so, no, they couldn't dive into every single thought that Paul and Morgan have in their fucking heads.
Yeah. It seemed pretty transparent that the point they were driving home is that these Christians, even though Paul and Morgan, they didn't even fucking know what IBLP was when they agreed to this documentary, so dummies, still espouse and share views that IBLP has. Like, they use that point about submission because it is similar to what IBLP teaches about submission.
You guys don't like that. But you fall under the same category. Like, I'm sorry, it's the same thing. And that's why you're so fucking triggered about it. And not to mention, and we thought this and kind of theorized this in the original episode, and I think even Jen and I talked about this when we reacted to the Paul and Morgan video. One of the producers, out of her own mouth, the words that she said on an Ask Me Anything that she did, talked about how...
Jen talked about it in the...
Did Jen talk about it?
Yeah.
The entire point being... The producer herself literally said they did Paul and Morgan a favor by not including a lot of the other things that they said. So,
yeah,
it could have been much, 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 much worse for those two. They should be counting their lucky stars that that's all they got. And if they would have kept their mouth shut, it probably wouldn't have been as bad. But now they had to go on a tirade about it because they're triggered and feel persecuted. And now look at the mess
they're
in.
And people are like, wow, you're really fucking throwing a fit about this. Crazy.
He wrote an article about it on the Gospel Coalition. And he was saying, you know, I spent the whole day there. And afterward, it's like, well, I wonder how they'll portray me. And I think that's, he kind of takes it with a grain of salt. Like, okay, it is what it is, you know? And I think that's kind of how you have to approach it. I would say the other part that I thought was kind of random to me was the whole Joshua generation part. Like, I had... never heard of the Joshua generation. I didn't know what it was. I was asking Dave, my husband. I was like, is it Joshua generation? Like Josh Harris, like people who fought, like were influenced by him. And Dave was like, no, like Joshua from the Bible, you know? And I was like, oh, like that's how much I didn't know what the Joshua generation was. So then to be shown clips.
What
like
a biblical Christian you are, Bethany.
Yeah, some biblical. I don't know if Paul should be associating with you.
Sutton and Mrs. Midwest and people like that, YouTubers saying like we're carrying on this message, was like, wait, really? This is news to me. Like
I've already addressed this, the reason why we're
this no
is
idea
the,
when
this is all- the thing though is they similar with other stupid conservative movements, they hinge on the verbiage. So like instead of analyzing the fact that maybe some of the behaviors that I have may contribute to this movement, they're stuck on what the fuck is the Joshua generation? I don't belong in that. Like, that's not the fucking point. Just because you don't know what the words mean doesn't mean that the idea doesn't still apply to you.
Yeah, just to paint a picture, it's the way that the Proud Boys can be like, we're not white supremacists because they don't like openly identify as neo-Nazis. But the talking points are really similar in both of those situations.
So y'all can go like triggered about the label, but if it still applies, don't know what to tell you.
All of us as like YouTubers or influencers, whatever they want to call us, we're all looking back and saying, we disagree with a lot of what IBLP did. We disagree and with a lot of what the Duggar family did. We're in agreement on a lot of this. Like, we're actually on the same side on a lot of this, but we just disagree that deconstructing is the answer. We think that, like as Ginger said, you can disentangle and go towards the true gospel and leave behind a false gospel. So that was just kind of like crazy to me. I'm like, you're acting, I don't know. It's just like, no, here's our voice. And what we're saying is we agree with you on a lot, but we don't think we have to completely deconstruct. We think that we can leave behind the bad and go toward what the Bible and the gospel actually says.
They didn't say that deconstruction is the answer. I don't know why they're so triggered by the concept of deconstruction that any other words they're like, blah, 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 deconstruction, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's all they can do. I know. That's all they can do.
It's like, oh, yeah, once you dismantle this, you can't, like, reassemble anything. It is the finite end to belief in God or anything like that. Like, once you deconstruct, you never go back or something like that. Just, God, so crazy.
And it was random.
Like, and we can hold on to our faith. Like, the thing that I thought was so ironic was at the end, their big conclusion felt like it was, and look at all of these people, this next generation of Christians. Like, look at how they're using their voice.
There was literally, like, 10 minutes of content after that point that...
But to her point, she says, look at these Christians and how they're using their voices. Yeah. Because these are the own words out your own fucking mouths. And so I still, once again, will say, tell me how it's different. Tell me how. Why are you so triggered by the own words that come out of all of y'all's mouth? Because all of y'all just regurgitate the same shit.
Yeah.
And if you're truly that different, then you better start acting like it. Because from where I'm sitting right here, it's practically the same.
It's close enough. And well, and they do... they bring up things like, oh, my dating experience was different. We didn't have the third wheel tag along.
Okay.
Okay. But that is like not the worst part of it.
They're just taking the things that they like.
Yeah.
They be trendy. They're trying to be cool and they're trying to further
you guys
the
are
message
not trendy
of
or cool.
Jesus. And it was almost like, oh no, how could Christians want to further the message of Jesus? It's like, wait, what? Like as Bible believing Christian.
What?
The point is at cruising altitude over their fucking heads right now. Holy
you
shit.
You go to God's word. I mean, they even had a clip of me in there saying something like, we go to God's word. We go to the Bible. I'm like, yeah, I will say that all day. And they were trying to portray that, like, look at this next generation. They're
yeah,
trying
what
to
was the rest
of
you said? What was the rest of it that you said? Because that wasn't the problem, Kristen. What was it that you actually said? This is a perfect example of cherry picking because that wasn't the only part of that sentence, my friend.
Be a Christian, to be a conservative. It's like, and the problem is, yes. Yeah, that's actually the point. Go out into all the world and make disciples. Like that is the point of the gospel is that we are.
Go out and make all the world disciples by fucking force. This is the idea is they want to do it in a way where they make the United States a Christian nation. Like, I swear to God, they just saw their faces and they were so shocked. They didn't listen to any of what they were saying about mm-hmm. this. Like, the idea was that they're talking about these people who are being elected to Congress, mm-hmm. who are legislating their beliefs, mm-hmm. and it's going through, they're garnering enough people that they can legislate their beliefs and impose those beliefs on other people. That's the fucking point why they were like, the Joshua generation is bad. And they're doing it by means of social media, by means of getting people involved in politics and things like that. So these kinds of ideas are more palatable. And it's pretty obvious that that's what's been happening in regards to the whole legislation behind trans kids and everything mm-hmm. like that. So
living out the gospel in our own lives, and then we're taking it out into the world. We're sharing the gospel. We're sharing Jesus. We're
being bigoted
Christ.
And
like,
transphobic.
That is the
point.
Yeah. And so I thought that was hilarious that they were painting that as like, look at what's happening now. And it was like, bum, 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 yes. bum, like this Joshua generation going forward and proclaiming the gospel. Like,
yeah.
Actually, that's what we want to be doing. And we're thankful that we can have...
We want this.
Seriously.
This is the whiplash. I am
fucking begging you to just sit down and map out your talking points.
I'm going to throw
so
up.
They aren't contradictory all the time.
Oh my God. I can't keep track. Which side?
That we can say,
yes.
We are speaking out and we are sharing what we believe. And thankfully, we've grown a lot. We've changed a lot. We can look back and see the things that we do not want to hold on to anymore, the things that were misbalanced, out of balance, the things that were not centered on the gospel. Like you said, we can disentangle the truth from the lies and we can move forward in the truth and hopefully continue growing, continuing disentangling. But we don't have to throw everything out. We're not interested in throwing out everything that we've ever known, every, you know, the gospel, the Bible, Christianity, conservatism, like there are good things. And
I want you to, and this might be a big ask, to use your critical thinking brains, go rewatch the documentary, and I want you to give me timestamps for when they said that. I'll wait.
Receipts, baby.
There isn't any, but watch it again, just for good measure.
Actually, we believe truth is found in the word of God and we're going to hold on to that and hopefully continue to disentangle and become more and more centered on the true gospel. But I'm thankful that there is a generation of young people who are speaking out, who are creating YouTube channels, making TikToks, you know, creating podcasts and talking about a lot of
again cruising altitude. That's just
current issues, political issues from a gospel perspective. There's more now than I feel like there ever was. So to me, I'm looking out and I'm thinking, wow, I feel like it's more balanced now than it's ever been as far as what we're saying, what we're hearing. And I'm so thankful that so many have been able to disentangle and the message is so much more gospel centered now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want people to know too, just like we're just humans, just like you all. And I think we all, like I said, need to have that humble approach. Like we're sharing, we choose to share our thoughts, Kristen and I, on a podcast, on YouTube. But we are not like the Bible. We are not God.
You don't fucking say.
I surely
never want to be your final authority in any way. Just like Bill Gothard, people look to him for answers and followed his teachings blindly.
We want you to consume our content and we want you to buy our books and attend our little thing that's now defunct, but we're not the final say. You should only look to the Bible. Like, damn. Welcome back, Baloney.
Welcome, Baloney.
Finally, that's a huge problem. Like, do not ever follow our teachings or whatever, like, blindly. Like, yeah. Go to scripture. And if you look at scripture and you're like, hey, like, I don't think this quite lines up with what the Bible actually says, tell us. Like, we want to know. Like, we want to grow and be more in line with God's truth, you know? But if you just disagree with us as a whole, like, you need to deconstruct. Like, well, like, it's probably not going to be the best. Like, we don't agree with that. So I think that, you know, this docuseries,
I don't even want you to deconstruct. I just want you to be like other Christians out there who aren't bigoted and homophobic and transphobic and harmful. And
be like the Christians who are in the comments saying, I am a Christian and I thought this was fucking awful and I didn't think that this was telling me that I need to leave my faith.
Or those
are the people who we're rocking with.
Yeah. Like, or the people who do homeschool or who are homeschooled who weren't triggered by this documentary. Like, all we're asking for is some self-reflection here. For you to potentially change your behavior to not spread harm and hate to people. But you go on and think that the only thing that you could possibly do is the extreme thing, because that's all you guys are capable of doing.
Ended so hopeless. Like, so what do we do? It's basically like deconstruct and then like the universe will catch you and that's it. It's like, how hopeless is that? Like, I think there's just, you know, that's why I loved Ginger Volo's book, because she is like, there is a true gospel. There is a true savior. We don't have to measure up. We don't have to be perfect. We can come with all of our brokenness and imperfection and have this loving savior who gives us this new identity again. In him, who died and rose again. So that one day we could be in perfect relationship with him and be in his presence and have perfect peace and pleasures forevermore. And just like completely be satisfied in him. And to me, it's like, wow, that is so life-giving. That is where hope is found, that eternal perspective, less of like, well, okay, there's all these, you know, sinful people in this world and I need to get away from them. But if we still go forward with ourselves, like, we're sinful, we're prideful, we are gonna, you know, like, even if everyone around us was perfect, we have to live with our own hearts. So that part to me was just really, really sad how it ended.
Your body, so
so hopeless. I just, you know, you just leave feeling really discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it just...
What?
I don't know. That was a lot.
Ended with...
To focus on.
Look within yourself. Like, speak out. To me, the ending was like, use your voice. You know, what they were saying in the docuseries, like what Bill Gothard and that generation didn't expect was that we, the next generation, were going to rise up and use our voice and speak. And now we're speaking. Now we're bringing to light all of the things that were wrong, which there were a lot of things that were wrong. But then it just ended with, we're using our voice and we're broken. We're trying to somehow...
Nobody
they
said that.
Definitely didn't say that.
They did not say that.
The end, you know? And like you said, it did end very hopeless. And the truth is that...
What
did you want? How did you want it to end? Like, there was rampant abuse going on here that was generally not held accountable for. And many people, not even in the documentary, that were also harmed by this. Like, we can't, this doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like, this is...
It was only the 10 people they showcased.
Right. And this has been going on in families. This has been instilled in probably multiple generations by this point. And so the impacts of this are so, like, I mean, they're continuous. They're ongoing. And so what did you expect them to say? Like... Now that these people have shared their stories, everything is amazing and we can all go back to living our normal lives. Like, what?
We can continue to live in systems that are adjacent or parallel to what IBLP was doing, because that's what we should be doing, because we say we love Jesus at the end. Like, dude.
We are all broken. Like, no, I'm broken. You're broken.
I thought they rebranded.
If I have to hear Kristen say that one more fucking time, I'm going to lose it.
Stop.
Every single one of us, we're broken.
Oh my God!
We're broken because of sin. The sin that we've experienced, the sin that has impacted us because of other people's sins, the choices that we've made.
Okay. Other people's sins? Yo, okay, maybe this is the Mormon in me, but explain to me how we are broken because of other people's sins. I don't fucking think that is biblical.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the Mormon in me that...
The things we've been a part of, like, we're all broken in different ways. And the docuseries just kind of leaves you in a state of like, things are broken. And that's it. And the answer is to look within yourself, to look within the universe, to speak your truths, to listen to your heart, to follow the voices in your head. But at the end of the day, like, is that really going to land you in a better place long term? Like, do the answers come from within?
Oh my God.
So fucking done. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm done. Kristen, I can't listen to hear Kristen say Boken again one more time.
Kristen, I hate to break it to you, but people out there live their lives in a way where the not every question that they have is answered by the Bible, like you. I hate to break it to you, but life is a lot of just not knowing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the ending of this. Basically, the only fucking like thing that we got was IBLP very hilariously removed Bill Gothard from the property. And that was just kind of it. And we don't know what's going to happen to that. We don't know if he's probably going to, hopefully, God fucking fingers crossed, will just be gone soon. But that's the fucking bad part about being a human is sometimes you don't know things and sometimes that's okay.
And this whole perspective of some things are just fucked up, period. Like, yep. There's no redeeming spin quality in on everything. This. There's no, like, we turn this into a happy thing. Like, that's not what this is. Abuse is abuse and it stands, and we don't have to water it down or make it more palatable for you to handle. Like, that's not the purpose of this documentary. The purpose of this was to platform these survivors and to spread awareness of what was going on in this horrible organization and potentially open up the door for other people to do the same.
And so, show how they're going forward.
Exactly. Like, so many of them are, and no matter what they do is great, because the fact that they're moving forward and as resilient as they are, even though they should have never had to have been, is amazing. And so for the two of you to come out here and be like, well, it ended kind of hopeless. And you know what? I did feel it's a just, degree of hopelessness. You know why? Because of you guys.
Yeah.
Because of the Joshua generation. Yeah.
Because of people who are carrying on this bullshit.
Like, that's why I felt that a bit. But that wasn't the whole thing, because I didn't let the two of you and all your other dumbass friends be the whole purpose of this documentary, because you were a tiny little blip on the radar. And even though we've sat here and talked about you for an hour and a half, our main purpose is to deconstruct your bullshit so that everybody else knows that this isn't acceptable behavior and that we don't stand for this, especially as a survivor myself. Bullshit. We don't stand for this. And so just self-reflection is impossible with the two of you.
Not every story has a happy ending.
Nope.
Sometimes it just continues.
And in other scenarios, I mean, same thing with Josh. What's the happy ending with Josh? There literally is none. He's a fucking horrible person.
Happy ending.
And he's caused irreparable damage to plenty of people.
And honestly, in his story, I don't think there deserves to be a happy ending.
No, there doesn't. And there's not a happy ending for anybody who was impacted by him in the sense of just talking about that abuse. That's not to say that people who have been abused can't go on and live amazing lives, because they absolutely can. But to say
And they do. Yeah.
But you can't just be like, well, that left me feeling hopeless.
Yeah.
Like, well, go fucking sit with that then.
1 star. I left feeling hopeless. Congrats.
Go to therapy.
Sorry. Okie dokie.
Well, that was awful and I hated it.
Is this the part where I just nod along and agree after you verbally berate somebody?
Oh, yeah. At the end of my degradation. Am I done now?
Yeah. Some people read too far into it. I guess I can't. I'm not allowed to have my own opinions.
No, you're not.
Jordan is the vault for all of my opinions.
And
I'm just an extension of her. She's really
what I say.
If you looked at my ass, you'd see her hands up there like a puppet.
Which is funny, because I've got news for people, even on spiritual and spiritual and afterlife and things, McKay and I don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
Because we're not the same person. And I don't have to subject myself to his opinions just because.
Yeah.
Either way. So
anyway,
a healthier relationship dynamic, mind you. But this was awful and I hated every second of it. And these two are the worst and incapable of self-reflection. And I know that is not a very nuanced point of view. However, I don't have a lot of space and grace and nuance for people who look at abuse and go, yeah, I feel bad that they got abused, but.
Yeah. No, but.
End of sentence.
It is what it is. leave it at that. Yeah. I'm really disappointed, honestly, with this whole rebrand that they've been doing over the past several months. I kind of figured that they would have changed, but they haven't.
No, really. They haven't.
So.
And I really didn't get my hopes up much, but.
Oh, I definitely didn't have any expectations of change, but.
Well, it's just the same thing. It's the whiplash that we always get.
I'm disappointed with them. That I was right.
It's the whiplash. It's that we didn't contribute to purity culture. We're not doing all these things, but then they come out here and Kristen is
they're saying the same shit that they always have.
Like a fucking broken record. So it's like, which is it? Which is it?
Yeah, the only thing you're broken is a record.
Bethany drives me nuts, but Kristen's place of superiority and obnoxiousness, I think, sometimes is overlooked because she doesn't talk as much as Bethany does.
Yeah. Or at least we don't focus on her as much because Bethany just, she's always saying.
Bethany is like funny cringe. Kristen, when she opens her mouth, is like, wow,
it's like, you are a
hateful person. Whereas Bethany says hateful shit, but she mixes it with like dumb shit that like makes you laugh because you can't not. And that's not because she's a dumb person. She's making
weird noises or.
It's just, she broadcasts so much her personality on the internet that she's much more, like, we see much more of her than we ever do of Kristen.
Yeah.
And so, and I still stand by the belief that I don't think they like each other, but nonetheless. Nonetheless, I will end on this point and say the purpose of this documentary was not these people. The purpose of this documentary was not to platform these Christian people who, and this is not all of Christian people, this is the Christian people who are hateful and vile and bigoted and hold really harmful, racist, transphobic beliefs. This applies to them. Like, this documentary was not about you. This documentary was centered on the survivors sharing their stories and the pain and risk and all of the things that come with sharing your story publicly on a platform like this, when thousands and hundreds of thousands and even maybe millions of people are watching this, and the backlash that exists from sharing a story like that. Like, this isn't about you. Like, this is so much larger than the two of you, and nothing you ever said in this could take away from the power of what happened in this documentary. But we're also not going to sit here and let you two speak uncontested. So. Yeah.
This dog shit has to have some pushback.
Because once again, we will link the social media of the survivors from the documentary in the description. And then we will also include a slide of all their social media at the end. These are people that you want to engage with. You want to give them your appreciation and respect for what they've done, because this was a choice that they made. They didn't have to do this, and many of them are probably facing backlash for doing it. And so give them the love and appreciation that they deserve for doing such a brave and vulnerable thing. And I mean, that's the best that we can do specifically with these survivors. And there's plenty of other things that you can do if you're wanting to support survivors, but specifically if you can throw love their way, that's a great thing to do.
Yeah. And I mentioned it earlier, and I will try to remember to put a card for it, but watch Jen Fundy Friday's episode that she did talking about it. I am, much to her chagrin, she's probably going to be annoyed that I did highlight this, but her part at the end, her conclusion of the video where she's crying, that's why she's going to be mad at me, is definitely the most poignant summary that I could have ever imagined.
It made me cry. Like, she... I know how hard and how much work Jen did, even on the front end of this, that you guys aren't even aware of because you aren't besties with Jen. So, I'm just kidding. But
flexing.
Even before the interviews, there was so much work that she did. And even before this documentary came together, so much work that she did on the Duggars, just in general, bringing attention to how garbage and dog shit all the stuff with the Duggars was. Because, I mean, honestly, when all this stuff was happening, I mean, when the Duggar show was on, there was not a lot of people, there was not a giant platform for which people could discuss how toxic they are. And that's when, you know, things like Free Ginger and the sort of like movement of the snark subs with the original intent of highlighting bullshit like this. But Jen did a great job, and her contributions were were very important and critical, and anybody who says otherwise can suck my dick. So there you go. Boom. Very politically correct of me. So there you go.
Okay. Well, we'll bring this to an end. Thank you to everybody who made it this far. It was another long one, so thanks for sticking around. Hopefully I don't have too many technical difficulties, but if this is something that you like, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button if you're on YouTube. Thank you to all our listeners that bear with me because I don't upload audio sometimes. So thank you for
we're trying to be better about that.
I always say that and I'm okay for a little bit and then I drop off again, but just harass us with messages if that's what needs to happen. If you'd like to support what we do, you can become a patron or a member. You get the same perks on either side of that. It's just a little nicer on YouTube because it is integrated into where you're already at if you're watching on YouTube. You can also follow us on social media. You get a little extra of more what we do day to day and things of that nature and stuff that Jordan finds interesting on the internet and things like that. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at Jordan M. K. You can also join our super cool, super awesome Discord full of people who aren't us, but including us, who have a wide range of perspectives and experiences and memes to share. So you can go and check that out in the description down below. But
got a bologna loaf over here.
We got a bologna loaf on the edge. I don't know if you can see him. I don't think so. But we love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you next time.